Hey, this episode is brought to you by Tristan Walker and our friends at Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair, buckshots, you know, peas, all of those things, and sensitive skin as well. So step up your shave game and say goodbye to those razor bumps, because you know how I feel about those. Go to getbevel.com today and use code THEREED to get 20% off your first month. And let's start the show. My butch queen and your butch queen.
What?
Watching some Empire. My butch queen said to your butch queen, I'm finna set this bitch on fire.
I talking just about.
Hey now. Hey now. Hey, I got it. Jagamo Fina. I'm not it. Jagamo Fina. Come on. Hey now.
Hey, no idea what song this is.
You don't know that fucking song?
What is it? Well, who's the artist?
Know.
Okay, so, all right. You don't even know
I feel
who
like it
is.
Was in, like, Lilo and Stitch or some show or movie.
Oh,
or
I only watched Lilo and Stitch once because it made me bawl.
No,
like
I'm sure
baby.
That I'm wrong. But, you know.
Okay, as long as you had fun, that's all that really matters.
You know what? And that is.
It is. That's
all
always
that
the
matters
truth. Yes.
To me.
We're right about that.
Having a good time.
So welcome to another episode of The Read.
Oh, I am...
still wearing your sunglasses. Indoors. Oh. There we go.
Hi.
Jesus. Okay.
Yes, I am Jonathan Quest.
Okay, and I am Harriet Winslow.
And this is The Read.
Who's Jonathan Quest?
You know... Haji and them.
Okay. I'll Google it.
You don't know Johnny said. Quest, bitch? Are you out of your
Johnny, is that like Johnny Bravo?
What?
Is it like a video game?
First of all, Johnny Quest is before your time. So this doesn't even make any sense.
Why?
Like, you can't even tell me that, oh, that's some young people shit. Because Johnny Quest is dumb old.
Okay, it doesn't have to be young people shit for me not to get it. I grew up in Oklahoma, okay? Shit.
Girl, Johnny Quest, like, traveled the world. He was like a young Carmen Sandiego.
It aired from 1964 to 1965. So the question is, how
bitch,
the fuck
you
do
a
you
motherfucking
know
fucking lie.
Well, that's what the internet says. So
you know what? Let me do my
maybe
own
it was rebooted
Google
in the 90s or something.
No, girl, there's this thing that's called syndication and get into
okay,
it.
So then those same episodes were playing for decades then, and that's fine. But the question is,
no,
how
they
did
brought
you watch
it back.
It?
There were lots of
oh,
different Johnny
like
Quest, and there was a 3D one, and
okay,
there was a whole bunch
right
of stuff.
All right,
you probably spelled
anyway
Johnny Quest wrong.
Oh, really? So it's not this white boy on an adventure, the media franchise, a boy who accompanies his father in an extraordinary event. That's nice, not that nigga.
You're a wretch.
Okay. All right, then.
The point is that
whatever
was a cartoon.
Okay. It sounds
and
delightful.
Also, I want for my, the dog that I get. I'm going to get a dog soon.
You have
I'm
decided.
I'm going to name it Haji.
Okay.
From Johnny Quest.
All right.
I just don't know what type of, I'm feeling like. I just don't want like a little frou-frou, fluffy,
no,
like purse dog.
Okay. Well, what kind of dog are you thinking about then? Like a bulldog maybe? Or
maybe.
Are you looking for something bigger?
I just don't want like a big, I really want a pit bull, but like you can't
oh,
do all
no
of that. And
you
where
can barely,
you
I don't think
her?
You're allowed to have pit bulls in the city, are you?
Even if you can, if that bitch lived with me, he's paying rent.
Because he's taking up a space, eating up all your damn food, sitting in front of the AC.
Your big ass ain't going to be up in this motherfucker and you don't work. So go out, get a job, sniff some shit down at JFK, bitch.
That was the problem I had when I had that cat.
Own.
It didn't do nothing but shit all day.
Get out.
Like,
you don't live here with me.
Get out of my house, actually. Like,
bitch,
you pay, I spend money on you and you shit at my house
how
all day.
Dare
I come
you
home and I have to take your shit out as soon as I walk through the door. What the fuck?
When I have a yard.
Why are you living here?
That's when I'll get
I
a pit.
Couldn't.
Because I really do want a pit and I feel like they get such a bad rap. They're such nice dogs and everybody feels like, you know, because of Michael Vick and I don't know whoever.
Yeah, I love animals, but I'll let my kids have a pet. I don't think I'll have a pet of my own before the end.
I'll let my pets have kids.
All right.
But I don't know.
I walked right into that.
Kids of my own. Because right, fuck that.
Okay.
You got a dog. By the time you're 3-4 years, your dog is as old as you are. So
yeah,
who
that's
even
true
gives a fuck? So Black excellence. Oh, Jesus.
Who is it this week? Bless the West Coast.
So this week, Black excellence is different because it's not like an actual person.
Okay.
It's kind of more as like a character and an idea and a landmark, whatever.
Okay.
So Marvel Comics is releasing a new story called, I feel like I talk away from the mic and that's my main problem. Let me move. Yes, Marvel Comics is doing a new comic called Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. And apparently this is like a remake of a old comic called Moon Boy from the 70s.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna Google it.
But Moon Girl now is a preteen Black girl who also happens to be a super genius.
Aww.
And I think that she's like, I think that she's inhuman as well, which like if you follow Marvel Comics, maybe even a little bit, because I only follow them so much, but I also know who Inhumans are. It's kind of like also awesome because it's like she's like a mutant, but not really, because they're, anyway, I'm not going to do that to you because I know you don't know what the fuck I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
no.
The point is, you lost me. Cute and Black and super smart, and her name's Lunella Lafayette, and the comic book is about her adventures with a giant red Tyrannosaurus Rex around New York City, and she's described as an Inspector Gadget type who actually knows what she's doing.
Oh my god. So this is so cute.
I think it's awesome. It's really cool to see Black super. I love Black superheroes and anything superhero-esque.
Yeah.
So it's cool to me to see, like, she's got the poofy hair and, you know, socks and glasses, and she's super cute. So, you know, check that out, or maybe there's something you can buy for your kids or nieces and nephews or something. I think it's cute.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to them. Shout out to Marvel for doing that.
Right. So,
on to the garbage.
This week in Fix That Face. I don't know. It's fine. Oh, God. So much. Where to start?
I feel like it has been a loaded week. I feel like I've been.
Jeez Louise.
Reading about more garbage this week than normal.
So Matt Barnes is somebody that plays sports.
Mm-hmm. He does.
I think basketball is the sport that he plays. In particular, he also was on Basketball Wives.
Okay.
On the VH1.
Is that where you know him from?
Damn Skippy, okay. Because you know I wouldn't know who the fuck this was otherwise.
Which Govan sister was he with?
Is he even like one of the L's? I don't know.
Okay.
The one that didn't fuck Shaq.
Is there one that didn't? All right. So anyway.
But not the one that like Shawnee really hated, but the one that Shawnee had to like box with first. Or
was
whatever.
It Laura? She looks totally different now. I don't know. Maybe.
Who right. Anyway. Even about them.
Anyway.
I don't even think that he's still with either one of whoever, but he was out somewhere, you know, in a wife beater. Looking like he was trying to score some Tina. And TMZ caught up with him. And are you looking for the looking for a clip?
No.
Okay. So
yes, but no.
They caught up with him and asked him. I don't know if there were rumors previously that Rihanna and Matt were dating or sleeping together or what, but they were rumors.
Okay.
And when TMZ approached him and asked him about them, he said something about, oh, well, you know, she and I were doing the best that we can and we don't get to see each other that much. Or, you know, she keeps my cable on so I can always catch power. I don't know. Whatever. Like, she just, a whole bunch of random shit.
There's something wrong with you.
And it was like, what are you talking about, Matt Barnes? And so Rihanna posted a screenshot of him.
I love
from
her.
The clip. And it said, hashtag bishware, hashtag the devil is a liar. Just know that all of these are hashtags. She's not that into you. She's not into you at all. She's never even met you. This actually hurts my feelings. Defamation of character. Let's just review the last two hashtags.
Woo!
Because typically I am immediately over more than two hashtags.
Me too.
Like, I can excuse two. I get it. But three, even three, on a good day, I might pass three.
I can't.
But
But this.
This was great, though.
This is an excellent use of too many hashtags.
Yeah, this was, the shade was actually the fact that they were all hashtags. It's like, I'm not even going to give you an actual caption. Like, I'm just going to
tag it with my emotions.
I'm going to start trends with all of these. So,
I love her.
I want to just really quickly review the last two, mm-hmm. which are, this actually hurts my feelings, and defamation of character. Rihanna basically said that not only have I never met you, not only am I not interested in you and never would be interested in you, I am offended that you would imply that I might be. How dare you? Know how I love to say how dare you? Like, this in so many words was that.
It was.
How dare you?
Right.
Ever go to TMZ. Here I go. This is why they always write into. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not, you know, sober. How dare you go to TMZ and imply that I want anything to do with your funky ass? Bitch, are you crazy? And then did you see that he, like, DM'd her friend some crazy shit?
What?
About
no.
who was gonna have. Yeah, because she, you know, Rihanna has her Bajan girls click the fuck up. Like, she has her actual homegirls from Barbados with her at all times. We know Melissa. I think the girl Leandra is her friend slash cousin, sister, or whoever, who also runs her Snapchat.
She's Snapchat.
Funny as fuck. And so I think she posted something on Instagram like, who is it? Like, y'all need to get this gay ass, whack ass nigga, something like that out of here. And so, of course, he took offense to being called gay. And then.
Not whack, sends, but gay.
Like, listen, I will be whack. I'll even be broke.
They'll be anything but gay.
But I draw the line.
All right. Like, okay.
And then he, like, sent her a DM and said some shit like, I see you like to play games, bitch. We'll see where it's left.
All right. Don't do this.
It's madness. But the point is,
and defamation
listen,
of character, though. Like,
Rihanna has to put up with enough of your
romantic
rumors. Every
week. And I still,
week,
I won't.
Rihanna is fucking somebody else. But Matt Barnes, what you won't do is feel these bullshit.
Nope.
Because, like, usually the niggas will come up forward and be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Or, ooh, nigga, I wish. Like
right.
Usually.
Something
I don't
honest.
Think Matt Barnes may be the first one who has come forth and been like, oh, well, yeah, you know, we text and we'll figure it out.
Like, you imagined a whole relationship with her and she's never even
I
met
don't
you,
even
my
know
nigga.
You.
Do you think you're Drake? You don't get to just pretend that you had this whole bond with this girl and you've never even been in the same room with her ass. Like, she was doing the absolute opposite of thinking about you, and you made your like a total ass out of yourself, and now you mad and you can't be mad at nobody but you. You Meek Mill, you started it. Why would you do this?
Why would you do this?
What is it with niggas and lying on their dick? Like, it's Rihanna. Did you think she wasn't gonna find out? Ugh, nigga.
I mean,
dumb.
You told TMZ who wasn't gonna. Anyway, so.
Ugh, niggas are dumb.
Speaking of dumb niggas, Sierra.
My God.
Was.
Why?
Oh, she's not the dumb nigga.
No,
and
well, no.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's debatable, right?
It depends,
you know,
on
the right or wrong day, however you look at it. But no, Sierra, what was it, training camp that they were at when Russell Wilson was holding the baby?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so sure. I almost know things.
Okay, I mean, it was really a pretty obvious guess because the season is about to start, but okay. It's fine. It probably wasn't even training camp. But anyway, what was the story? Don't look at me like that.
So anyway.
You are so hateful.
There were these pictures of Sierra with her boyfriend, Russell Wilson, and they were at this alleged camp.
Wherever.
And in some of the photos, baby, God, I don't want to call him Future. Jesus. fuck, Sierra?
Like, goddamn, can you leak a nickname? What the fuck are we supposed to call this baby?
And it's like, how would you even make a nickname? What's his middle name? What's the baby's middle name?
I think he's like Future Carnavius Jr. or whatever.
No. Because Future's not Future's name, bitch. Like,
well, I think, but she did. I think his name, middle name is Navadius.
Let's figure out.
And if
out
it's
the
Future
truth.
Navadius, whatever the fuck Future's last name is, then Sierra girl.
You know what? I'll Google that.
That dick
later.
Must have been platinum.
And how? I really pray against it.
I'm going to look it up right now.
But even then, you could still probably do a lot with that as a middle name. Nady.
Oh, no, it's Future Zahir Wilburn.
Zahir it is, sweet nigga.
Zahir.
That's it. Indeed it is. So that's what I'm going to call him.
All right. Zahir. I like that much better.
Or just the baby because he's not mine. Oh, but either way, they were at this, you know, grassy place. And in the photos, Russell was holding the baby. Now, I knew when I saw those pictures, I was like, this is going to be some petty shit or whatever. Like, I already know that it's going to be whatever. Mm-hmm. So I didn't see nothing wrong with it, but whatever. So apparently Future did, of course.
Because he ain't shit.
Because he ain't shit. And so I don't know exactly what he said, but I guess he was in his feelings about Russell holding the baby, playing with the baby, being photographed with the baby, whatever.
Being a parent? Are you offended that somebody else was parenting your child? Oh. Hmm. Sad.
Goddamn.
Maybe if you did it.
Also, there were, you know, lots of future Hive members who shared the sentiment of their
I won't let
savior.
Them call themselves a Hive.
So, let's stop right there.
There's
then.
Only one Hive hose.
I just want to know how this even happened.
Because they're lazy and high and couldn't think of nothing else. Y'all are going to have to find
nothing
something
else.
Find another
nothing
collective.
Nothing else? How does that doesn't even make sense. How does the Future have a Hive?
Where, they don't.
What is
I don't
the
acknowledge that.
There?
That's
it doesn't
nothing.
Make sense.
Right. Future
it's not
hive,
a real thing.
We're
get
the
off
beehive.
The lean. It doesn't make sense. Hives, bees, it makes sense.
It works.
The only people who could say that they have a beehive to me are Beyonce and Lil Kim. That's it.
Yeah.
Because B. I right. get it. Future, what?
Although I'm not sure how many people are in Lil Kim's beehive anymore, but that is not necessarily the point.
The point? Raven?
Who? Raven, who?
Simone.
Not Simone. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So, but anyway.
Raven, Aurora, Simone, Aurora Monroe.
Okay. All right.
Queen of
I won't,
all
kinds. Can you not? I knew you were.
Controller of storms. And all things between.
Raven, like.
We don't have to.
Really
we don't have to.
Like,
they had a That's a Raven, like, reunion and
okay.
great things.
Yes. Anyway.
Giving Rave a break.
Okay.
I, you know, the point is, Future, nigga, what?
Right.
Sierra went on some show with Gail.
Something on NBC, I think.
CBS.
Okay, well, whatever.
I think.
Something
out the morning.
It doesn't matter. Right. Something in the morning.
And she said, look, I had those matching dreads, but don't get it fucked up. Saw the light.
Eventually. You got there.
Because, you know, I think that Sierra's thing is that she seems like that girl who was like the black queen of the like high school.
Like the most popular girl in school.
Yeah, like the
like
black
the head cheerleader
prom
kind
queen,
of.
Head cheerleader, like.
Just real popular.
Real
with
popular.
Everybody.
I could dance and, you know, like I'd be performing at the talent show and make,
you
know. You
were in the musical.
Right. But she yeah. also like runs the bake sale so you don't think that she's a total bitch.
Right. She does
and
like
she,
community service and stuff.
And she
prays
always.
Prays at the flagpole.
Abs. That's it. And
I get it.
Roll the activity bus.
Right.
And like,
she wasn't too good for the activity bus.
Exactly. And so she wanted like the white picket fence and like happily ever after, but also like was hopelessly in love with nothing but trap niggas.
Right.
And so,
she
you know, Sierra has exactly. So Sierra has reached the point in her life now where she is like, I can't deal with no more of these trap niggas. Like, she has realized that she can't turn these trap niggas into, you know, a Jenner. You can't, he can't be Brody. No, he can't be, you know, maybe Spencer. But like,
he's not a Will Smith. You can't, boom. You can't convert trap niggas into Will Smith.
Boom. You can't turn that nigga into Idris. Or
the most you can
do
is get them off the lean. And you,
can't even do that. Like,
if he's not even giving up drugs for you in this multitude of children,
he gave you a baby
and
still called the album Dirty Sprite 2 and then said, I'll choose it over you. Like,
that's a lyric.
That's the first song on the album. Like, so Sierra, I feel like now she has a baby.
Woo!
And she has realized, like, I
that
have
nigga's awful.
Responsibilities and I can't even do this no more. So I have to date a nigga who loves God.
Yes.
And like practices that love.
She's going in the total opposite direction, which,
and it's about time.
Right. I may not get the whole no sex thing, but this relationship seems so much healthier just based off the strength of who Russell Wilson is and who Future is. Like, I just feel like you automatically upgraded, at least on like a mental health situation, by switching to Russell from
Russell
Future.
Wilson has the nerve to look like the face of Sizzle.
Okay.
And then also be saying, oh no, you can't have no dick. So, like, that's just already like, it's like Sierra, like, she can't like win for losing. There's nothing that she, is that how you say that?
Yeah, you can't
she
win for
can't.
Losing.
So
it's definitely not you can't lose for winning.
That don't make no, but either way, like, she can't. Like, it's just hopeless. And but she's actually found a nigga who is like nice and can spell and like wears like suits and goes to like nice dinners and like
and
knows
picks up her
what
child.
Side the fork is on and like why there's two forks and like all of these things, and that is like perfect.
He has
for
entrance that aren't drugs,
right?
And fucking,
so she had to basically tell these people, like, I tried to contact that nigga and get him to have a conversation. He didn't want to do that. I don't know what the fuck the rest of these niggas want. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna be this mama and I'm gonna enjoy my life, and when I do get the dick, bitch, it's gonna be bomb and you're gonna be mad about it.
Right.
I shouldn't say all that.
No, but that
but
was
she
what
busted
she meant.
Told them to go fuck
right.
themselves, and also reminded them that when she got with Future, she was over there
with
Crayola, watercolor painting with the motherfucking
kids
hot
dogs for snacks
that weren't
and shit. She was over
hers. Sure
tried.
Was.
Sure was.
At motherfucking BB King's and shit with this whole team of Power Ranger ass baby mamas.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, oh, it's so
and
nice.
And everybody
all
said,
along.
Right. Look how
it's
nice.
Nice that everybody, that she
right.
can take responsibility
See?
For the kids and it allowed. Them
See,
whatever.
Y'all are trash. And totally different expectations for Future, because even now Future stands on the internet talking about how Sierra is still just a dumb hoe and trying to use
now,
Future
look,
for attention and all this.
Dirty
now,
Sprite shits on Jackie.
Well,
but that is just a fact.
What does it
that's
shit on Jackie?
A, that's you can't escape
that's
that.
That's a low bar,
right.
though.
So, you know, you have that, but you also have the fact that that nigga ain't shit and is also high.
And like, you just have to admit to yourself, Future stands, if you like his music, that's fine, but that nigga ain't shit.
I can separate the two. And if what Sierra said is true, nigga, you weren't even there when the baby was born. It's like you weren't even
I
in
thought
the
that was common knowledge that he was not there.
Wouldn't you want
Wasn't
the
he
next,
on tour
like,
or something? He was not there.
According to her.
Yeah, I remember that.
He
so
at the bottom of a styrofoam cup.
Like over your baby, and consistently chose his career over your baby. And y'all are mad that Sierra finally said, oh, well, fuck it then. I guess I'm gonna move on.
And you mad what? That motherfucker.
Future didn't even have to move on. Future has been fucking other bitches this whole time.
And what
fuck?
Is wrong with Russell Wilson walking around and having a bag full of koala yummies, like, in his backpack for the baby? Like, at least they get along well.
Right,
like,
shit. At least the little
would you
got
want
somebody
her
to talk to.
Find a dumbass, crazy ass, high ass hood nigga like the rest of you
right?
who's gonna not give a fuck about the goddamn baby.
You ought to be glad she found a good daddy
that
for
that
your
bitch
child.
Would leave the baby at her goddamn daddy's house so that she could, like, fuck, like, it seems like get along well. What's the problem?
God
like,
damn.
Shit.
But
anyway.
Niggas ain't shit and just garbage willingly.
Sierra, I hope that you can remember that we want to see you dance, put out a great album doing that.
We would love
and,
that.
And, you know, so that I have that mm-hmm. in my corner so that I can be fully Team Sierra.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm on your side with this
situation. Yeah, I'm definitely on your side in this situation, because how the fuck dare they? Like, you got matching dreads.
You posed dreads with the other baby mamas in a picture that everybody knew was just going to be you in
they
like
8 months. They looked like saber sunbeams of baby mamas just together, like Sailor Scouts or something.
Right. And so the next time y'all say Sierra is disrespecting her son by having him around a man who ain't his daddy, you think about how Future has disrespected his son. Because that nigga did not even bother to show up for the birth. Like, oh, I've been here before. Whatever, girl. Throw it on the pile with the rest.
I have to go on tour.
Ugh. Mess. Like, he's a...
Anyway,
move on. I'm moving on. Sorry.
I think the title of this episode might be able to be Niggas Ain't Shit this week.
Really?
Mike Epps was on the Twitter.
Oh no.
Speaking to a very lovely young lady, very pretty girl.
Yeah, she was really pretty.
And I don't know why. What inspired him to inquire about her Instagram presence, but mm-hmm. I guess he asked her if she had an Instagram, and she said something like,
I know exactly what she said, because it's my new life slogan. It was, no, I wasn't getting the likes I deserve, which is classic.
That is something, madam, if you hear this, if you're anywhere out there, coin it.
Yes.
Coin it.
You need to, like, trademark it. Whatever you can do to put that phrase on cups. Like, because that is gold.
What? Music videos, apps,
not getting the likes I deserve.
Hello?
So I left.
So he then said something about check your DM or something.
Yeah.
Like, on the whole entire...
On his public-ass timeline.
Timeline.
For everyone
Instead
to
of just
see.
Sending a DM, I guess.
Because that would be too much, like, right.
And that is when his wife sent the side eye emoji, those two, bitch, what the fuck you doing, eyes.
She did, but she didn't see it till like 2 days later.
Well,
like, she didn't even, I guess she doesn't check his Twitter every day, because I mean, honestly, it's Mike Epps, why would you? But
he could have fucking conceived a stepbaby for your ass by then.
Gross. But yeah, she did send the side eye emoji to, I think, the both of them.
Well, he definitely doesn't look like he made an advance in the situation at all. Like, it doesn't even seem like she was interested. So,
right. I think did she even DM him or, like...
She...
I bet she didn't DM him back.
Follow the entire situation up by clowning the whole entire fuck out of him.
Oh, did she?
On Twitter. Yeah. Sure did.
All I saw was that iconic statement she made. My guess is garbage, though. But did you see what he said today?
Yes. Sorry to all my fans for all the drama on Twitter, but don't run my account by myself, FYI. My nephew DM girls, and they find out it's not me. Here's the thing about this story. 75% of me... 85% of me feels like you lying.
We're on the same page.
But a good tiny piece of me feels like this sounds just nigga enough
to be true.
And Mike Epps just nigga enough. Mike Epps is nigga enough for this to be true.
And old enough, like, because he's an old nigga who don't really get Twitter. So you get your nephew to help you out on Twitter. And of course, your dumbass nephew lies on and pretends to be you to get girls.
Exactly.
It sounds so believable. Yes. But at the same time, this is what everybody fucking says. Oh, my cousin was using on my Twitter. Oh, I was hacked. Oh, such and such. Oh, my sister had my phone. That's everybody's first excuse when they get caught up in some dumb shit. Everybody's.
I mean, he didn't say he was hacked. That could have been like...
Right. But the explanation is believable. Like, I can completely see that happening.
I can see it. And you're right. If he wasn't like... He's an old-ass nigga.
He's like, I don't know.
He's a grown-ass, married-ass man.
I think older than the average Twitter user. I'm pretty sure. And I just think he doesn't get it and asks his nephew to help. But that's
it's a believable scenario.
Right.
Mm. And Mike Epps also has a show coming out on, like, ABC or something in a few weeks. So, like, he's got, like, a sitcom coming out. in the fall. So mm-hmm. I don't feel like he, it would be very unfortunate if he was dumb enough to just be out here creating scandals on his public ass profile.
But it's sad that nobody really thinks that Mike Epps is too stupid to do this. Like, nobody saw this and was like, oh, clearly somebody else is using Mike Epps' account. Like, nobody thought that. We all assumed he was, like, really flirting with this girl, like, trying to get with her. But whatever.
Crazier things have happened.
It's just, I'm on. It's Mike Epps. Whatever, girl.
Oh, God. Is there more?
Is there?
The Real Housewives of Atlanta is taping.
Oh, no.
And,
oh, no.
They've been discussing who...
I can't.
They've been discussing who is going to be coming and filling in some spots for the next season since, you know, Claudia Jordan is no longer there.
Because who cared?
Optimus Prime is gone.
I'm not sure who that... Oh, that would be the brick known as NeNe.
And, yeah, so they've got slots to fill. There were lots of discussions of who. They had this picture, so we know that Sheree is supposed to be coming back. They showed photos of Marlo, who doesn't seem to have, like, an official peach. But, yeah, we talked about all of
and
that.
And that's because she sells ass, right?
Does she?
Isn't that what she does? Like...
I don't know.
I don't know. I was under the impression that she manages girls.
Oh, she's like a madam.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a different statement.
What? How? It's still selling.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
I mean, how you
well,
think
I
she
mean,
got
I,
there?
I received a different.
Okay.
As sales.
I don't think she's still out there selling her own
booty
ass.
Transactions.
There you go.
Is what, yeah. I mean, I don't know. You
an
know,
authorized
it's
ass dealer. Maybe I should have just put it that way. But anyway.
Hey, listen.
I just
boss.
Figured that I always
I'm
thought
Jackie
that was
Christie. Like, I'm a boss.
I'm Doug Christie's wife. I do boss things as my diamond falls onto the linoleum.
What?
If y'all have not seen
Jackie,
the real,
you are too
real
old
housewives
for this.
Of LA. Real
basketball
wives. LA.
It is a very dumb show.
It is.
But if you want Christie. To watch, it's almost like.
Jesus, she is a mess.
It's almost troubling that she's allowed to just be
right,
out in the streets and on television and everyone's just like, oh yeah, you know, that's a wrap. No. See you tomorrow. Like
she's
no,
obviously needing some like real professional attention.
Needs to come and
yeah.
get her.
Right, no. Somebody other than Doug. Somebody who can write prescriptions because Jackie Christie is standing in need. And it's sad.
It's
but hilarious.
Crazy.
The
and
way she talked
like,
to, who was that girl that she sat there and talked to at that restaurant? So,
Brandy.
Oh my God. I'm sure half these people are like, what the fuck show are y'all talking about?
The worst.
And the
but
other half are living.
She's a boss.
I'm a boss.
Her neck looks like the side of a Swiss roll.
I could bring in my tax return, sweetie. That's not what my bank account say. I could bring in my bank statements. It's nothing. I don't even like to floss like that.
Like a fish cake.
Girl.
You know the fish cakes that they put in ramen? Anyway.
All right.
Anyway,
what were we talking about? Atlanta.
So one of the people that they're talking about adding or they are saying has been... Bring me back, Lord. Here, where are the
I saw it on Variety, so I think it's real. I think it is.
Well,
maybe
I think
though.
That, okay, so Amaya Scott. If you don't know who Amaya Scott is, she's a very beautiful, transgendered lady mm-hmm. who I don't think is from Atlanta, but resides in Atlanta. And if you follow social media, especially the black side enough, you've probably seen a photo of her because she's gorgeous and also is constantly trolled by niggas who like to make transphobic jokes.
Right.
Like
constantly.
Like
people
every
never,
day.
It's a mess. Actually,
it's like,
but.
It's almost like you would think that it would be old.
Like, right. Like, how is this still a joke to y'all? Like, come on. You
so.
Can't just let people live.
They're saying that Amaya did shoot like scenes with or a scene with Candy. And so now the story is that she's going to be on there. And of course, like initially it was Amaya Scott is replacing me.
Getting a peach. Right.
And I was like, OK, well, like, let's all hold on. And I almost feel bad because I feel like if they were going to bring her in, they should have done it when NeNe was still on. And the reason I say that is because I know now that they're going to, they're already going to give her a hard ass time because mm-hmm. they already do when she don't say nothing to nobody.
Yeah.
But The Real Housewives is a show about mess. I can't go on there and make fun of the fact that fucking Sheree's house is built out of It's a Kadoozie sticks, but then I can't tell you that you can't make fun of Amaya. You know, like, I can tell you that your joke is ignorant, but it's like, I just know that it's going to be mess. And then on top of that, it's like everybody is
and
the
justification is going to be, well, we tear apart everybody on this show when like, but transphobic shit is crossing the line and niggas don't care.
And it's going to be like, oh, everybody's trying to shove the trans community down our throats.
Right.
Oh, they're trying to shove this movement down our throats and all of this stuff. And I just feel like the timing about it is tacky, and I don't know that they're going to give her a hard time, and I'm not looking forward to it. And I'm actually more shocked that Regine is going to be on the goddamn show.
Oh, like, my God, really?
How the fuck am I supposed to take the real... Like, I can't watch this fucking show and Regine is on it.
So the Living Single checks have dried up? That can't be.
Kim Fields
has been working since she was like eight, though. What about The Facts of Life? What? Tootie cannot be broke.
She's been directing shows. Like, I don't even know. I feel like Kim was like literally like, you know what? I want to get some more Kim visibility. Because she's been working, but that's
right,
why I
that's
didn't
what I'm
believe
saying. No,
it.
She's been working forever.
Even behind the scenes recently, she's been directing stuff. I think like House of Pain or something. Like, but she directed.
We're just
like,
not used to people who have real talent like signing up for these shows.
I was surprised that Candy wanted to do it.
I was
and she's
too.
Been on forever now. So,
but I mean, I'm sure that Candy is making significant money, especially with her crazy ass family getting their own spinoff and
but that's what I'm saying.
Specials and shit.
Like saying Amaya Scott is replacing NeNe Leakes when it's like Kim is gonna be on this show and she's more accomplished than NeNe was.
By far.
She's more accomplished now than NeNe is now.
Right.
So, like, if anybody's like, do they have slot? Like, or do they have assigned seats?
Right.
You know, how does this work? So,
just because you're joining the cast doesn't mean you're getting, like, a peach in your own storyline either. You can be recurring on the show and not be a major character.
Look,
I don't know what's happening for Amaya, but I wish her the absolute best because people are going to be
and I'm actually
as all the fucks.
Interested in seeing. So now I feel like I can't live tweet Real Housewives because I'm just going to be so over the dumbass jokes.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've decided that I have to unfollow a lot of people and do lots of filtering on Twitter anyway because you niggas are so... More on that later.
All right. You warning them?
Because I'm just so tired.
It's okay.
I feel like one of these is supposed to be a read, but...
If it's the Amy Poehler, then I got it.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great. So then...
Yeah, no. I'm tearing that bitch apart.
Great. So then I can delete this one.
Okay.
And... Listen, I don't know if I want this to be a read though.
You want to just stop there? I think that's plenty.
No,
I mean, my
yeah,
God,
let's
we have,
stop.
I mean, we can.
It'll be a read.
All no, right.
Because I don't have like a read. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Listen,
we'll figure it out.
So we're done, and that was this week in nonsense.
All right. We'll be back.
Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by Nature Box, one of my favorite sources of snacks. Ooh, sources of snacks. I like the way that that sounds. Nature Box, you don't know them. You need to know them so that you can love them because they have some of the tastiest, snackiest snacks of life. And if you go to naturebox.com/thereed, you'll have one.
Yes.
On the house.
Isn't that dope? Your very first box of snacks could come to your home or office, wherever you'd like. You can choose a dope flavor like the Sriracha Roasted Cashews, which we both love, or the Harvest Nut Mix. There's so many different options. They've got different sizes available, so you can pick the one that's right for you or your family, and you can be surprised every month or pick out the snacks you want. So again, go to naturebox.com/thereed. The very first box is on them. Let them know Kiffier and Crystal sent you. We're going to love it. We love Nature Box.
Now let's get back to the show. So, listener letters.
Yes, it's time for those. Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com. And there's a lot in the inbox today. And let's start with the This one is called Uncle Tom Boyfriend. That was the subject line.
All so, right.
Yes, this comes from Dorothy. And she says, this is a fake name. And I am a black woman. I've been in a relationship for almost 3 years with my boyfriend who is from the Caribbean.
All right.
With the recent murders of black people by police, the Charleston, South Carolina church murders, and the so-called suicide of Sandra Bland, many conversations have been ignited in our home. Most recently, a heated argument where he basically said that these recent murders are not really his problem, and he feels like all black people have to do is listen to the cops and don't present themselves as thugs, and then they won't have anything to worry about. He doesn't see the police killings as a problem because, quote, black people kill each other all the time. I was disgusted, and with this discovery that my man is not conscious and is totally fine with having an ignorant mindset, I find myself less attracted to him mentally. I tried to educate him, but it seems like nothing is getting through, and I wonder if I can have a future with him. My question is, am I overreacting? Is considering a breakup the wrong move? Any advice on how to handle this would be greatly appreciated. Girl.
Why on earth would you stay with him?
There's not, let me stop. I was going to say there's not a lot I'll tell you to just break up with somebody with over instantly, but honestly.
That wouldn't be a fact.
I tell people to break up all the time. When I'm highly annoyed, I'm like, well, girl, just leave him. So, but this goes.
If he brings me the wrong color bag of Doritos, I probably leave his ass.
Bitch, not the purple bag. What is this?
Because honestly, like,
why
would you
playing with my time?
Like,
but anyway, like. A white man who doesn't is like completely dismissive of the entire idea that like black people should matter and should not be gunned down in the street for no fucking reason. Like the fact that he is not on board with that is all the reason you need to leave, girl. I don't even know why you still after that conversation. I don't know how it didn't end in. OK, so we're broken up now.
Right. Like,
and
this
I'm
is
leaving.
Like.
Girl, I don't get it.
Writing in so that you can tell me to break up with him, I guess, because I don't know.
Is that like a push you needed? How were you going back and forth in your head about whether to leave him, girl? Like, if you have children with this mixed man, knowing that he, or with this white man, you're going to have these biracial kids, knowing that he feels this way about police brutality, how are you going to feel about raising a black son or daughter in America with a parent with that mentality, girl?
Like, you are welcome to your opinion outside my house.
Come on. Ain't that it?
You are certainly, you know, allowed to have your own feelings, sentiment, whatever about these topics, and you can feel those motherfucking ways in your goddamn gasser when you beat the street, bitch, because you won't be staying here.
Like, you just won't. We won't be together. We have nothing else to talk about. I can't have anybody in my personal space who doesn't agree with me as far as police brutality is concerned. I can't even entertain that. And like, I feel like life is stressful enough. I don't need somebody that I talk to on a regular basis being that goddamn stupid.
There are certain things that you can disagree on in relationships. Yeah. And I guess you kind of decide what things you can like live with and what things you can't. Like, maybe, you know, I like waffles and you like pancakes and I just don't understand or whatever. Like, right. Or you feel like grits are just the greatest thing ever and I hate them. And it's just like, oh my God, how can you not feel that
way? Or if I eat grits the real way and you put sugar in yours, like stuff
that
like that. Can you live with that? Can you live
Why
with somebody
Why don't you just
who,
eat oatmeal?
Like, girl, do you want some malt meal? What are you putting sugar in this for? Grits is for savory. That is just a rule. It is. You can put bacon. You can put
shrimp. I
don't
like grits anyway.
You can put cheese, butter, salt, pep, all in grits. Sugar is not for grits.
How did
period.
We get to grits?
I don't know. Anyway, what?
But
question?
Anyway, yeah.
Because girl, duh, leave his ass. What? I couldn't even believe. The only reason I selected this, honestly, because I felt like the answer was obvious, but on the off chance that you sincerely meant this and there's really a black girl out there, like, dealing with this, I want you to know that, like, this is like low-key abusive. Like, why would you even leave yourself in a situation with a white man who feels that way about your
yeah,
life?
Yeah, there's just certain girl, things that I, if you girl, don't feel girl. The same way as me, then it's clear that we just can't at all. And you choose, again, you choose what you can live with and what you can't.
I can't live with sugar grits.
I could never do. Hello. If you don't like Martin, get out of my house.
Right. Remember that Kendrick Lamar interview? And some girl. He was making Martin references. The girl
was like, "What's Martin?" And he got up and walked out. And I would have done the same exact thing. How dare you?
He was like, "I don't even want to talk to you about music no more because you don't know what Martin is." Like, I don't want to speak to you. I don't
Are you
be
out
in
of your
present.
Fucking mind?
That's the blackest shit. Oh, but anyway, girl, yes, leave him yesterday. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, our next letter is actually like an update slash letter. Mm-hmm. And it says, it's from Anonymous, and it says, I wrote a letter some time ago detailing whether or not to out my gay 40-year-old brother who is dependent on our parents due to his careless and extremely sluttish ways. That were found on the internet because he doesn't cover his tracks well. Do you remember?
Oh,
I do too.
Yep.
Now my worst fears have more than likely been realized. My older sister was in her home, and while he stayed over one night, she needed to retrieve something in the room that he sleeps in. Lo and behold, she finds medication called Norvir, which we looked up and discovered was for HIV. My brother was hiding the fact that he was gay for years, and now it seems that he's hiding that he is HIV positive. Since I told no one in my immediate family that he's gay from your advice, which I felt was a little shady, but maybe not, do I still keep my mouth shut about his status? I haven't spoken to him yet about my sister's findings, and I'm stuck at what I should do. So, this is interesting, I think, because I still stand by the advice to not out your brother.
Yeah, I don't feel any different.
Yeah,
about
so
it.
I'm not sure if you meant that in a shady way. You probably didn't. Maybe it was just to jog our memory, but
it was a dig. But it's all right.
It's okay because I stand by. I'm most likely always going to be on the side of don't out a gay person. There's very few exceptions.
Right. It's just like. Rarely, if ever, necessary.
Right. It's just not your
This
place.
Is a whole different game, ballpark, everything. Like, this is something completely different. If you feel or if you know that he is sleeping with people and has, you know, and if you believe that he has HIV or any kind of sexually transmitted disease and he's out here sleeping with people willy-nilly, that is a conversation to be had right. with him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because that is a completely different statement. Like, if mm-hmm. he was just gay and he was out here, you know, doing him, protecting himself and what have you, I don't feel like it's your business to go and say, oh, such and such is gay.
Yeah.
You know, but... This is different.
Yeah, this is something other than, you know, being gay or, you know, acting like a hoe on the internet or going out and doing whatever you want or whatever. Like, this is a totally different situation. And since you and your sister are both aware of this information, I think the two of you should go to him privately right. in like a really non-confrontational manner. Because if right. he's hiding from it, it's because he doesn't feel like he can share that with you. So... For him to know now that y'all know something that he's been trying to hide from you, you're going to have to be like really careful about it. But I think it's really important for him to know that his family like loves him and supports him and wants the best for him. So ordinarily, I would tell you to mind your business. But on something like this, I think you and your sister, it would be like a really good idea for y'all to come together and talk to your brother about this, because I'm sure it's something that, you know, he would. Like, I feel like if that happened to me, I would definitely want the support of my family. Like, I would want
right.
to be able to feel like
That's
I could tell them.
That's not even something that you would, I can't even imagine that you would want to hide or like how to, like you're saying, that's something that you would want to have your loved ones there for you and being supportive of them.
Yeah.
But also like... making sure that you're obviously, you know, by having medicine, that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But having conversation about what it is and like what his practices may be. And are we, you know, like, listen, you are who you are and mm-hmm. we good and we love you. And
yeah.
that's it. And, you know, after the beep, this message will self-destruct and then you go about your business.
Right. But no, do it. Not out his status to anybody else in your family either, to answer the other part of that question.
Absolutely not.
Just like you didn't out his
right,
sexuality.
Exactly.
Do not go around telling other members of the family that he has this before you and your sister talk to him. That is something he should be able to disclose. That is his business. I know that's your brother and you care very deeply.
Isn't that even like...
Isn't that illegal? I think it may be in some states. It is. I don't know. I don't think that's a federal thing.
It needs to be in all of them.
But no, do not go around telling everybody else this, especially before you talk to him. Like, that is just, please.
Talk to him. Say we love you. We care. We want to know what's up. We've got your back. We love you forever.
Right.
Hugs, ice cream. Ooh, Talenti has a hazelnut chocolate chip.
There you go.
Bitch.
No, bitch.
Talenti the caramel has a apple pie. Okay. I already know,
as
bitch.
Long as you know.
And let me
as
tell you something. I was up on game before
because
you were,
that
girl.
Motherfucker,
and I tried to tell you girls, but you weren't
listening.
Pint in like 45 minutes.
How the fuck? It is so good. I can't. That goddamn ice cream. I have to keep walking. I can't keep
that
in my house.
They have a hazelnut chocolate chip, bitch.
Oh, bitch.
With the nuts.
Okay.
In the cream.
Okay. I think they have a pralines and cream, don't they? If they don't, they need one.
They have a whole bunch of shit.
Oh, my God. Fucking Talenti. I can't with them niggas. But anyway, so good luck to you and your brother and sister. Let us know how it goes, hopefully positively. And our last letter is
really?
What?
Keep going.
Oh, God. Okay. You know, I just enjoy words, okay? Oh, I did not mean it like that, obviously.
Fuck.
Okay. See, I would not have even noticed that had you not said it.
Really?
So anyway, though.
Timing.
Dear Crystal and Kid Fury, my name is Virginia. I'm 29 and I'm going through some shit. About 3 months ago, I discovered that my husband of 3 years, they've been together for 8 years, and my best friend of 25 years have been fucking behind my back for the last year.
Okay, let's take a break. This is where I have to, like, if this was CrossFit or any other, like, this is where I would just be like,
CrossFit.
Sir, ma'am.
Okay.
I have to just give me a moment to just, because God, like, we just dealt with like these tragic stories.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Let's take a moment.
Fuck. You know, remember, people, you can't ask us like what, like the best Kool-Aid mixtures and like all kinds of just like fun things to do. Fuck. Yes. God damn. Shit. Okay.
I mean, I think there's a question here about
so
video
they're ruining
games
her
if you
life.
Want to go find it.
Oh, please.
Really?
Let's do, yes. But no, we don't already started this.
This
and then
like,
the last one.
She'd be so sad.
Last week they were mad because we didn't do the interracial one. Like, y'all love this mess. God damn.
All right. So.
So they're ruining her life.
So her husband and her best friend have been fucking behind her back for the last year.
Good God.
Woo! Upon discovery, I wasted no time kicking that nigga to the curb and all his shit. And I let that dirtbag bitch out of my life and I felt so much better since.
I know, that's right.
I quit editing these letters a while back in case y'all couldn't tell. Despite their efforts to contact me and ask me to hear them out, I've maintained face and I haven't been tripping. However, I discovered...
Talk about what? Fuck you!
I'm not gonna do this with you. I discovered a week after I dropped they asses that I'm pregnant, and the only person I've had sex with in the last 8 years is my dirtbag ass ex.
You were this close.
It was about to be a success story, like 100%. Like,
damn, yeah. It.
Before I found out about how much of a fuckboy he is, we were planning to have our first child. But now that I know exactly how much of an ain't shit nigga he is, I exactly do not want that around my baby. Although I know how it feels to be a child without a father in their life. So I am conflicted on whether I have the authority to say that he can't be in the baby's life. On top of all this bullshit, I heard from a mutual friend that my ex-best friend may be expecting as well. And there's a high possibility that my ex may also be the father of her child.
Are you fucking
serious? I'm fully aware and comfortable
right
in the
now.
Fact that that child is none of my goddamn business. Oh, wait, no. I got messed up. I'm fully aware and comfortable in the fact that that is none of my goddamn business whether she is or isn't. But if she is, that child will not be around my baby if I choose to allow the ex to be in the baby's life.
Wait, but wouldn't they be siblings?
This isn't over. I plan on having this child and being the best mother possible, and I'm financially in a good place to take care of a baby. I'm not concerned with getting child support from him either. He can keep the measly pennies. My mother thinks...
Jeez.
I mean... Listen, if your man's broke, he just is. Okay. My mother thinks I should be exploiting him for child support as revenge while I raise the baby alone. Your mama's real. But that sounds like some Cruella de Vil movie shit, and I'm not trying to complicate my life any more than it is. If I make the decision to keep him in the baby's life, it can go one of two ways. And if I choose to keep him out, it may have negative long-term effects on the baby. Please help. Woo! Bitch. Girl. Virginia.
This blows.
So here's and see, the thing,
this
sis.
Is why, and you motherfuckers be asking us. I started that; that was way more aggressive than it was than I intended for it to be.
Really harsh. That was harsh.
But see, that y'all ask us like, y'all be so quick to tell us to dump somebody, or y'all be so
and this
fast
is why.
Tell us to tell somebody to get. You have to just look out for the signs, okay? Look out for those flags. They're bright red, and you have to stop there. That's what that's for. And then get the fuck out while you can.
Woo.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm sure your baby is going to be great and is destined for fantastic things, and I'm sure that you'll be an awesome mom. But it's just like, you were so close. Close. Like, you were this in a year. Like, they were doing this bullshit for a year.
Yeah.
And so you could have been, ugh. Anyway.
I feel like you need a little bit of a reality check here, though. Because you said some things in this letter that maybe you think you can do that you actually cannot do.
You're mad.
You are very mad. And you have
rightfully
the right to be.
Rightfully so.
Yes.
But you can't.
But I want to bring you down
parenting.
To earth now.
Right. You can't. You can't allow your anger to govern the way that you parent your child. And you have to, keep a lot of...
And I know that must be hard.
It has to be.
Because you are looking at the person you created with the nigga that you hate the most in the world. And so it's like the person you love the most who came from the nigga that you could just... If you could strangle him to death, you would.
At least Sierra's baby looked like her to me.
Yeah, he kind of do a little bit. I mean, but his name is Future. So
and that was
but anyway, it must be hard to deal with those conflicting emotions, girl, but you can't, that can't be what you think you're going to base your decisions off of, because you can't just say, oh, well, he's not in the life of the baby, because although he sounds like a garbage ass nigga who is not going to really try to take care of his kid,
but
he could very well establish parental rights and go through the court system and all that and force you to share that baby with him. And that's something that ain't shit niggas like to do when they see that you doing good with your life. All of a sudden they want to come back and hold you down by using the baby against you. That is a common motherfucking tactic, girl.
God.
They do that shit all the time. You move on because he's garbage and you go on about your life and you finish school and you move into a new apartment and you doing good and all of us.
Even ladies who barely have two nickels to scratch together and out here taking care of their kid because
just you ain't happy
shit
again.
And you didn't even want, but you just moved on. And
right.
Oh my God.
You moved on
so
and
true.
You feel good. And as soon as he see you feeling good without him, he want to bring your ass down, and he know all he got to do is use the baby to do that. Girl, I'm not telling you what you should or should not do. I'm just letting you know the real right now. You're not going to be able necessarily, I mean, and this is if he has morals, which again, I doubt, but you can't just necessarily be like, oh, the baby ain't going to be in his life.
Her best friend.
He's garbage.
For 365 approximate days.
They say a year. When did it really start? I don't know if you know all that, and really you probably not in the frame of mind.
Sweetheart,
you're going
to have
that.
To take some kickboxing and, find other stress after the baby is born.
Okay.
I mean.
As
of right now,
I personally
like to watch lots of funny shows and movies. I like to laugh a lot. I would tell you to go out and have a drink with your friends, also pregnant, so that doesn't,
Yeah.
But, I find that when I sip apple cider and, close my mind and imagine, it's champagne.
Yeah.
But there are, find stress relievers. When the baby is born, you're going to have to take up some kickboxing or whatever and just find ways to channel your anger in another way and let that nigga know, you ain't shit. You ain't never going to be shit, especially not to me. You are the scum on the bottom of my goddamn Nikes, bitch. You are absolutely nothing to me except my child's daddy. And if you are ready and willing to be my child's daddy, I will reluctantly allow you to do that. But bitch,
Do niggas know what reluctantly means?
Probably not, but that is why they have Google. All you have to do is put in definition or define, and it'll be smacked down. Sometimes you don't even have to do that. Sometimes you can just put the word in, and Google will be like, if you wanted to know what it means, it's right here.
Yeah.
But again, they don't know it because they don't want to know anything about Google. But what I'm trying to say to you is you have to keep in mind, I'm ready for the sake of my baby who ain't do nothing to nobody. I'm ready to co-parent with your motherfucking ass. But I want you to remember, never forget, for the rest of these days, you ain't shit to me.
Yes.
And you ain't never gonna be shit to me, bitch. So don't say nothing to me. Don't speak to me. You over there with my future babies, future sibling, fuck you too, bitch. You ain't shit to me. And in fact, I ain't gotta speak to your ass. Ever.
Not ever. You ain't never got to talk to her.
Ever again. Our babies can be siblings, and I still don't have to speak to you, bitch. Nope. So don't even breathe in my fucking direction, bitch. Don't invite me to the goddamn birthday parties, bitch, because I will send him or her there. Don't say nothing to me. Fuck both of you motherfuckers really forever. It. And don't say shit to me if it ain't got nothing to do with the well-being of my goddamn child. Deuces.
Amen.
That's it.
100%. So that wraps
Eat.
Up.
A shining platter of dicks.
I cannot put it
forever and always. Like,
they did you so wrong, girl.
And that's almost better.
Oh, they did you wrong.
That's almost better than being petty about it, because that is what a normal person probably would do, because that is the easy thing. It's hard to take the high road. It was probably better. It probably would sting even more to be like, fuck you. You are the worst person in the world to me, but I'm still gonna be mature enough to be here for my fucking child, because that's what it's all about. Both y'all can eat shit on Tuesday for all I care, through Tuesday,
right?
Do you understand?
The best thing really is to just be like, I actually don't need you, so don't contact me at all unless it has something to do with my baby. Okay, bye. Like,
back to back dicks.
That's it. Right. Just be like, all right, well, fuck you then. And cut that nigga off.
On cack.
But be ready. Always stay ready, because he is the father of that child. And if ever he decides to be a fuck nigga and use that against you, he will do it. So stay aware.
Fuck niggas are going to be fuck niggas in any situation where they don't feel like they have power over you. So in any situation where you're not quote unquote losing, a fuck nigga is gonna display fuck niggatry. So you literally like have to just brace yourself for the fact that that nigga is gonna be petty. Like, whether you mad and you show that you're mad, or you're mad and you show, like, you know what, fuck that shit, I don't give a fuck, he's gonna be petty, because he's just anxious.
And I know you don't want him to be in the baby's life, but I would still put him on child support, because chances are, fuck nigga, if he a fuck nigga, he ain't gonna come see the baby any damn way. He gonna have that child support drafted out of his check, and he still ain't gonna come through. So
I don't care if I can buy my baby a fucking Maserati at birth.
You're right.
That bitch could be at the hospital with a jag outside. You're still going to provide your end of things, girl.
That's it.
Because you are obligated to, as a parent. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck what I've got. Okay? So
you're taking care of this child, because this is our child.
It is our baby.
And I'm willing to guess y'all are not in two wildly different socioeconomic statuses. Like, it doesn't seem like it's one of these complicated situations.
Yeah,
he needs to take care of his baby,
right?
Period. Regardless of the bullshit that
Speaking
he did.
Of,
and if he doesn't want to be there, because you can't force a nigga to be there for his child. So if he doesn't want to be there, you can do your absolute best and not have to worry about his bullshit.
Speaking of niggas not taking care of their kids, Glory Johnson is having twin girls. And so,
wow, if I could like hit you though.
Are you guys like juicy juices, anything?
Of all,
like, what are you gonna, Hawaiian punch? Like, the babies deserve Hawaiian punch.
My official statement is that my relationship with Brittany Griner is not subject to further comment until we have determined whether she will be legally responsible for the children who currently reside inside Glory Johnson. Because what I will not do is play stepmama to a straight girl's children. I resolved that a long time ago. It's complicated. I don't really want to get into it, but I'm not doing that. Them bitches is crazy, okay? And I just won't. And I just, no. So, we'll see.
I think we're about done here.
All right. So ask3@gmail.com and we'll be back.
Hey now, this episode is being brought to you by Tristan Walker and the great people over at Bevel. That is the first and only shaving system for men with coarse curly hair and sensitive skin, and all you bays with beards. This razor is clinically proven to reduce and prevent tailor bumps, which 4 out of 5 men report have happened, with less irritation and discoloration and all of those other horrible things. It uses a single blade that cuts right above the skin, and it's awesome. And every time that I use it, I feel like I own like a rosé. I feel like a music mogul or someone with a yacht.
Yes, like Kifuri said, it is the first and only shaving system for men with coarse curly hair and sensitive skin. And it was created by Tristan Walker, who saw a void in the health and beauty market. And his goal is to make health and beauty simple for people of color. And definitely Bevel does that. My brother loves the razor. He tells me all the time how much he loves it. You can start shaving smarter today at GetBevel.com and get 20% off your first month's membership by entering promo code THEREED at checkout. That's GetBevel.com and use code THEREED for 20% off your first month. Get started on that sexier, smarter shave with Bevel and the Reed. And now let's finish the show.
So it's time for the Reed.
It sure is.
So I'm like, I shouldn't say this, but I'm like 60% here.
It's okay.
And dwindling.
All right. Well, you know.
So let me just cover some things.
Yeah, is this like a live Furious Thoughts?
It actually can be, but I don't feel like I need to just do all of this today. Okay. I can save some of these things.
Oh, I mean, because I'm cussing somebody out.
I know.
Okay.
And I actually had that one too, so it's great that you are covering it. First, I just want to start by saying, Madam, however you say, Tussaud. Whatever her name is. There's been a lot of discussion about this Nicki Minaj figure that they have. Mm-hmm. That they created to look like the Anaconda video where she's up on top of this like Sophia's purse from Golden Girls or whatever the fuck that is. And she's bent over in like these tiny, tiny shorts and her big ass is up in the air and it doesn't even look like her. It looks like if the Kardashians had like a cousin that was like a witch from a Tim Burton movie or something.
That girl that Drea brought
on. Yeah, Drea's friend. It looks like Drea's friend from Basketball Wives.
Jesus.
And so the first time I saw it, it was another one of those things that just kind of makes you go, huh, this is going to be a thing, but I pay it no mind. Because I do that a lot. Like, because the first thing that popped into my head when I saw it is, why would they do this? Like, I know that they have made lots of figures that were supposed to be like recreations of music videos or moments in that particular celebrity's history. But usually they're standing up. I just found it kind of odd and typical that they would use, even from that video, there were so many different things that they could have done, but they chose to have her bent over with her huge ass up in the air, which I thought was just fucking stupid. But outside of that, I really want to know what the fuck is wrong with you niggas who feel the need to go to the wax museum and climb up on the display and take all of these crude, disgusting ass photos with this figure and then tag Nicki Minaj in it like, oh, hey girl, we out here representing with you. Oh my God, so excited for you. How the fuck would you feel if somebody was mounting your fucking wet or like licking your ass crack or something? First, I didn't even know you were allowed to touch them.
You're not. They sneak up and do that whenever, I guess, the attendant leaves the room, which you would think, why isn't there just an attendant always there? But no, they're definitely not allowed to touch them. They're sneaking and doing that. And that's why Madame Tussauds put out that statement.
So get a life, job, hope, aspiration, parent, whatever, and figure out what it is that is inspiring you to do the dumb shit that you are doing. But again, the conversation that a certain rapper that you don't like had or tried to have on Twitter. I feel like it is very factual. It's very true.
It doesn't make
any sense to me why you would use that particular video and pose for this dumbass fit. Like, and then on top of that, for it to fucking look like the Joker is ridiculous. Like, I don't understand that shit at all. And really, instead of complaining about needing more security because people are fucking crazy, because you know fucking people are crazy. Like, no one's just going to the fucking wax museum and seeing a figure of somebody they like or recognize and like, that is just so pretty. Oh my gosh. It's like, you know people are gonna go in there and act a fucking fool. There's no surprise. It's not a fucking shocker. So why would you even make that shit in the first place? What you need to do is take that shit out, get rid of it, burn it, turn that shit into some soy candles or whatever, and make a different one. Like, make one that is more respecting and says, this is a rapping female artist. Nah, this is a girl with a big ass, and here's, like, one of her music videos where she's on all fours. That's fucking ridiculous. Outside of that, I also wanted to discuss niggas on Twitter who,
oh my God.
I feel like, you know, when you start to attack the activists. Now, let me just say this.
Oh, Lord.
Because there are a lot of people today on Twitter who were discussing whether or not Sean King is actually black or mixed or whatever. And somehow there is this scandal of lies and how he's not really black, he's white, and or he's not as black as he's supposed to be. I don't know, whatever. And I was made familiar with Sean King around, I think, Mike Brown or maybe Trayvon or one of the protests, like mm-hmm. the earlier ones. And I did remember clicking on his profile picture and being like, because I wasn't 100% sure. And when I looked at it, I was like, he could be mixed. He could look like a little something up in there, but either way, he's doing something nice. And I didn't ever see a tweet from him claiming to be black. I don't follow him. So I don't, you know, it was just kind of like, to me, he was just someone who was tweeting these things as they were happening and like fighting against police brutality and black lives and that kind of thing. So I was like, all right. It wasn't like Rachel Dolezal, who looked like a fresh-ass white woman with a tan and African box braids. So, you know, but that's, I'm just talking about, you know, how I feel personally. I understand, you know, the confusion or whatever. But even a few days before, I saw people on Twitter going at DeRay and saying things like, he's privileged and he doesn't know the black struggle, which I didn't know to be true. And then somebody said something about he's like a doctor who has the cure to the issues, but won't share it because they make more money. Basically saying that DeRay knows that the protesting and the Black Lives Matter movement is lucrative and doesn't really want to do anything to make a change, but would rather be famous because he can, I guess, have like a novel. And so for me, it's getting to like, I understand when white people do these things because, you know, they have been trying to create this haze over all of the issues forever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Some white people do it subconsciously. Some white people do it and don't even know they're doing it. Like when they say the only way to end racism is to stop talking about it. Like, I feel like they really believe that and you don't understand that doesn't make sense and it's actually racist. Mm-hmm. But that's a different conversation. I'm more concerned about black people who are doing and saying these things because, to me, it's like, this is like, these are real distractions. Not me, because best believe I'm tweeting the fuck out of that Love and Hip Hop reunion. So don't come to me talking about no distractions. Woo. When I'm making fun of Jocelyn's weave or Kalina's tears or Rashida's, you know, dead career or, you know, Stevie J's part. Don't come to me about distractions, bitch. Don't say it. Because, girl, if you are on here fussing with DeRay about how much protest or whatever. Now, again, please understand that I am not 1,000% invested in these people. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Apparently, the nigga from Subway is a creep. Yeah. A disgusting creep. Who would have known? I thought he just liked sandwiches. You know, so I don't know these people. Sean King could very well just be a real ass, a whole entire white man, for all I know. But I also don't rely on these people to get the job done. I understand that they are people who are doing their part, and they can only do their part. And we as black people especially can only do so much. And I honestly feel like that, I'm starting to feel like that might be the problem, that I'm part of the problem of what I'm discussing right now, is I kind of feel like the black community, we kind of feel like we have done what we can. You know, like we're still fighting, and we're obviously, we still have a lot of work to do, but I mean that in the sense of we've cried, died, we've rallied peacefully, not peacefully, we've talked to politicians, we've been president, we've done all of these goddamn things, and still here we are. So it's almost like, are you just tired of the fight? Are you, because I feel like part of it is like, oh, this person is garnering a lot of attention and is like on the news, and people are celebrating this person because of the work they're doing, and I want people to celebrate me. I want to feel validated too, and I want to feel important, and I want to have a whole bunch of followers, and I want to have this, so let me shit on that person. I know a large chunk of it is that bitch, and you don't have to live in your truth today or tomorrow or next week if you don't want to, bitch, but I see you, okay? We see each other, all right? A part of it is that, but another part, I feel like maybe it is just the community is tired, and they are just letting the distractions eat them up. Because Sean King's race aside, again, like I said, when I look at him, he looks mixed to me. I have family members that look like Sean King. Like, I have family members that look super, you know what I'm saying?
I have a cousin who is so light, we call her Powder. Please.
And I don't know why y'all do, like, every time you say that, I'm like,
she knows the sign of love.
I know, but I get it too. But like, that's what I'm saying. And it's even, like, I wouldn't compare him to Rachel, but in the, like, broad situation of what's going on, it's, like, just annoying as fuck that now we have to sit here and discuss colorism and, like, mixed people and melanin and what makes, what's black enough or what's not black enough, and fair-skinned black people, and, oh, well, you know, I have a cousin that looks like, and he, like, we have to talk about all of that shit, and meanwhile, cops are still killing black people. And it's like, I get it when the oppressors are the ones who are like, here, give, fetch. It's like, you know, like they always got excuses in the form, you know what I'm saying? And they'll toss over there. Oh, look over there. Look, bananas, whatever. Like, yeah. Like they've always got that. But it's just kind of disheartening to see us continuously falling for the okie doke. And I understand that we are all outraged and we are all trying to take these steps forward. But I feel like when you are finished getting all of the activists that we have out here out the paint, what you going to do? Are you going to take their spot, girl? Are you going to do the work? Are you going to find somebody? Are you going to call Bravo or somebody to fill their spots? Because somebody's got to do this. Whether, like, I don't know if you are relying on them to do the work for you because you don't want to fight. Like, Fran said on the Friends on podcast, which we'll talk about in a second, like, everybody has their role and everybody has their lane. You know what I'm saying? And we're all out here doing our part. Some people's part is to be on the front line and fight. Some people's, their part is to try and make you laugh. Some people's lane or their part is to provide you with health tips or to do whatever to, like, because we still have to be mentally healthy and we still have to laugh and we still have to spiritually be at peace in order for us to move forward. So I'm kind of like, I don't want to say, oh, how could you guys pick on whatever? Because I understand that we're in a state where we're all kind of running around and just trying to figure out what's happening, and we all tired and confused or whatever. But it says a lot when we start to pick apart the people who are really out here, seemingly at least, trying to make a difference. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mean that they can't be shitty individuals, because like I said, I don't know them all like that.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not out here saying, yeah, this is, you know, Sean King and Netta and DeRay. They're the Destiny's Child of Black Power. And, you know, they're gonna fix the world for us. They're a part of, they are human ass beings that are already experiencing tons of unnecessary hate and death threats from people that just don't like the fact that they're ballsy enough to say that shit is fucked up. And so it's unfair to also have to come and spread all of this other bullshit on top of that when it's not even necessary. And meanwhile, they still killing us. Like, is this really something even worth arguing over or fighting about? Like, at best, if you don't like the way that they are supporting the movement, if you don't like the way, you know, they're doing their thing or whatever, then that's fair. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? But then, girl, leave them alone. Let them do them. And you do your part then.
Right. Because it would behoove all of us to remember that the movement belongs to everybody. It's not just the people who are on the front lines, God bless their hearts, the people dealing with it day in and day out. And it's not just the people in the public eye who are like the ones that we see out there talking to people and trying to get change and progress and policy and all that. It's not just them. It's all of us. We're all responsible in one way or another. And too many of y'all are sitting the fuck at home when you get off work, going on Twitter until it's time to go to bed and criticizing the fuck out of people when all you are is a spectator in life and you ain't participating in a goddamn thing.
So how dare you?
How so dare how do you even fix your like, fingers to type to somebody knowing you ain't doing shit for the cause? Knowing you not. How dare you? How dare you criticize anybody knowing you ain't doing a goddamn thing?
So anyway. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? People, we have so much work to do. And these things here are the real distractions. It's not live tweeting reality shows. It's not talking about, you know, the latest drama with Chris Brown or Tyga or whoever. Like, those things we would have been laughing at regardless. But when the point is right here on the table in front of your face and you are refusing to acknowledge that motherfucker, that's when you're being distracted. Because I can get back to that motherfucker right at 11 p.m. when this reunion goes off. So what? And I don't have to do it on Twitter to get back to it. I feel like a lot of you keep relying on social media, feeling like that is like proof that you give a fuck, and it isn't. Because a lot of you girls are you're tweeting and typing and snapping and Instagramming and all of this stuff, and you couldn't give a fuck if you tried. So what are you even talking about? I don't know who you're trying to prove something to, but I'm done.
Okay, so that was, I enjoyed that quite a bit. My read this week goes out to Amy Poehler, which is a little sad, honestly. I kind of don't want to do this because
it's heartbreaking.
You know, I thought Amy was one of the white girls I could trust, and there's only a few. And, you know, it's kind of that heartbreaking moment in your life when you realize, damn, another white woman that I thought was cool and like gets it and she just doesn't. So
apparently not.
It's sad for me. But Amy is producing a new show on Hulu called Difficult People. And so the premise is that these are two assholes. And so that, you know, is what
they live in
think.
New York and they're assholes.
Right. That's so, I mean, it's about. Yeah, it's about how awful of people they can be. In the promo that I saw in the subway, they're taking selfies at a funeral, like they're assholes. Okay.
And it's called Difficult People.
Right. And that's being used as part of the justification for this line, because in the very first episode, the star of the show says, "I can't wait for Blue Ivy to be old enough so R. Kelly can piss on her." This is in the first episode of this show. And
did you watch it?
I did. I watched enough to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Amy Poehler stands, you know, white girls who spend a lot of time at like tanning beds are online right now talking about how Amy is like a champion of girl empowerment. And she has a whole website about making girls feel good and making them feel like they can
she
do anything.
Like a nonprofit.
And yeah, it's called Smart Girls. Like, this is Amy Poehler's brand.
Get there.
Talking about how Amy is just making a point about how gross R. Kelly is and y'all don't really get it. Insinuating, you know, like we're just too dumb and we don't understand the deeper meaning here. You know, what she was really trying to say. And Amy didn't write the joke anyway. So why are you bitches even mad? And so y'all just need to leave Amy alone because she's great and Parks and Rec. And okay, so listen, I love Parks and Rec like everybody else. Right. But when a bitch is dead ass motherfucking wrong, then the bitch is just wrong. It ain't no two ways about it. And this ain't no minor fuck up, because... And this is something, I don't know why I have to keep saying this to white people. When I did that panel and I had to cuss that white man out and remind him that as a black woman, I'm allowed to view my life, and that includes comedy, through the lens of being a black American woman. And that means if I say something is not funny, then it just fucking isn't. You're not going to change my mind about that because you're not me. You could think it's funny if you want to. That's how opinions work. They're not facts. If I say it's not funny, it's fucking not. Don't argue with my ass about it, especially when the joke is about pissing on a fucking baby. Like, you bitches, call yourselves feminists are going out on a limb behind a bitch who co-signed a joke about pissing on a fucking toddler. Are you goddamn serious? Do you care that little about black people? I only have 3 short points to make, and we're going to go ahead and get out of here. The first is that you can stop saying that Amy didn't write the joke, so it doesn't even matter. Because in every interview about this fucking show, Julie Klausner, I guess that's how you say her name, she's the star of it, and she's talking about how Amy is so hands-on, and she gave notes on every script and the fucking outlines of the scripts and, like, approved it all, and she could not have been more hands-on, so shut the fuck up. She saw that maybe she didn't write the Blue Ivy joke. I highly doubt it, but she saw it, and she approved it,
and
period.
I was hoping that wasn't the case at first, because a lot of times what happens is they'll, like, these people who are the executive producers, they'll put their name on it because it'll help promote the show. Because the guy who's the male lead was on Parks and, like, had a recurring role on Parks and Rec.
Right.
So I figured, oh, well, maybe she's just, you know, I hope that. But either way, it's like, even in my head, I'm like, how, you knew this joke was in here.
Right.
And you still put your name on
it. She saw it. She gave notes on the scripts and the outlines. There's no way she didn't see it. On every single one, she was extremely hands-on. She's a producer of the show. Stop acting like your fave didn't do this, okay? Maybe she didn't write it, but she co-signed it, and that's just as fucking bad. When the show is billed as an Amy Poehler production, because that's the thing that's gonna bring people in to watch, because Amy Poehler is so good at everything else, but Mr.
Yeah,
Mark,
we don't know who the rest
so,
of the niggas are.
Right, we don't even know who the fuck Gabby. Are y'all. Like, right, like, please. So, your name is the reason people are tuning into this, and you fucking know it, so you gonna own up to this shit. Secondly, bitch, R. Kelly is a known child rapist. A joke about pissing on Blue Ivy is not just a joke, because R. Kelly pissed in a minor girl's mouth on camera. It is not a fucking joke. There's nothing funny about that. There is proof. And for those of you who are still talking about, oh, R. Kelly couldn't have been that bad and all this, I encourage you to go online and read the court documents in the R. Kelly's case, in the R. Kelly case, because they are truly motherfucking disturbing. And once you know the truth about that fucking nigga and the shit that he used to do, there is no way you can look at him the same. I know it's hard to divorce, you know, stupid shit from the artist. I get it. I know. And all of us have memories associated to art. Like, everybody over, what, 20? Has some, probably you did something that you humped to R. Kelly in your preteen years or whatever. You pretended you gyrated in the mirror, something. You two-stepped. The old people love his ass too. I get it. But that nigga is a child rapist and everybody knows it. There have been dozens of girls who have come out about R. Kelly, and this has been going on forever. He fucking married Aaliyah when her ass was underage. It is not a secret at all, and there's nothing fucking funny about raping girls. He raped a child on camera and was acquitted, and you are making a joke about this nigga pissing on Blue Ivy Carter. And everybody involved thought that that was totally motherfucking fine. Do you really think Amy Poehler would have seen a script that said, oh, I can't wait until Violet Affleck is old enough for Bill Cosby to drug her, you know, and that, like, that's some great thing? Of course not. She would never say that, because first of all, Violet Affleck and every other little white girl is afforded a certain level of protection and consideration that black girls just are not. Black girls are treated like they are just total trash, and it doesn't matter what you say or whatever terrible shit y'all put out about them. It doesn't matter how young, right? It doesn't matter, because somehow you deserved it. Ayanna Jones shot dead in her bed, and somehow it's her fault. A little black girl, it's like you're not even human. That you would never, white women would never greenlight that joke. They would never, ever, ever do that. And secondly, Bill Cosby's victims were mostly white women. And so they are very careful about the jokes they make. And the fact that Bill Cosby did that shit to a bunch of white women has a huge part of the reason that people are giving a fuck about that story now. Because R. Kelly targeted disadvantaged, I'm getting emotional, young black girls. He did this shit on purpose. He went after girls who, first of all, probably wouldn't tell because they would be dazzled by the name R. Kelly and the money and the gifts and whatever the fuck else. He used to pick up these girls from school and take them to McDonald's. Like, these are children. He knew what to do to attract children. And you think that that's something that's funny. Like, you think that that situation is something worthy of to joke about. And I just don't understand that about you. What's funny about what I just said?
Go ahead, I'll wait. I'll let you finish.
If you think it's so fucking funny, why don't you make a joke about Subway Jared molesting your son? Why don't you make a joke about Woody Allen molesting Tina Fey's daughter? You would fucking never. You would never disrespect these white legends. Like, they act like Woody Allen is untouchable. Like, they sit there and celebrate Woody Allen like he's not married to his stepdaughter.
Still today.
Like, they really, white people really do, like, worship him. And there's, like, five people willing to speak up and be like, no, he ain't shit. The rest of them really act like he's some kind of genius to be revered. Like, are you goddamn, do y'all not give a fuck about kids at all? You would... But most importantly, you're not going to do that to those little white children, because you understand that they're children and they're in the public eye and they didn't fucking ask for it and they don't deserve no heinous shit like that. How dare you disrespect Blue Ivy Carter like that? How fucking dare you, bitch?
When I saw this, didn't you have another one? Go
please
ahead.
Say whatever you need to say. No. Because all I have left to do is cuss out white people, and I can do that anytime. So,
the thing about this show, I watched it actually because two people had actually recommended it to me, and I was like, oh, okay. And so I'm sitting there and I'm watching it with Tay, was actually with me, and it's funny because when they first started, she's like about to tell the joke or what she's tweeting or something, and she says like, I can't wait for Blue Ivy, and then you like hear traffic or something. So I said to myself, like, I bet you they ain't gonna say whatever the Blue Ivy, whatever, I know you, right, shut up. So I thought that was funny because it was like she's probably said something dumb about Blue Ivy, and then they like mute it or whatever, so you can't hear it, right, whatever, and then they come back around and they say it. But the thing about it that really pissed me off is she says it more than once. Like, it's not a joke that they just say one time and it's like, oh my God. And then they never, like, it's like something that she says and like sits there, and then they bring it up again in another scene, and then it just like sits there. And like, I was just like, I couldn't believe that Amy Poehler would put her name on some bullshit like that, or that they would even put that shit in the show. And then I actually, like, I kept going because I wanted to see. Like, where it was gonna go with that.
Yeah.
And it's like that type of show. Like, there are AIDS jokes, cancer jokes. Some girl said something about, like, when my uncle molested me, I thought he was joking. And then when I cut it off was when... I cut it off when that same woman said something like, I told them to give the diversity scholarship to someone who needs it, and that's how Blackish happened. I was like, okay, like... See. The thing about it is, when you say, like, how is that funny? I've noticed that, first of all, you have to keep in mind that humor, I guess, is, like, or funny is what, like, relative to the person in the situation or whatever. But there are some comics who feel like shocking statements are funny, or like it's funny that you say something so horrible, like, that nobody else would say. Because I've never understood that. The first and maybe last time that I did stand up in this city, I went with my cousin Mike Brown, who's been on the show before, and some white guy who was there, it was an open mic actually, and he was like very new, obviously he was horrible, he wasn't funny at all, and he was like a young white gay man. And every one of his jokes was racist and not funny, had nothing. It was like, I'm at work and, you know, it's like everyone is afraid to say that someone is a black person or describe someone as black. And you just had to do with me. And they say, oh, who is the person you're describing? I say, it's Tyrone, the one who steals. Or some like, it was literally something like that. Like, mm-hmm. not even exaggerated. And I'm sitting there, I looked at my cousin like, so I have to whoop this man's ass when we walk out this motherfucker. Like, I have to drag this honky down the block because he thinks it's... No one laughed. Everyone's sitting there like, what is going on? But I noticed that there are literally, there are types of people that think that those types of things are funny. Like, I can't believe you would say this. Sarah Silverman, Lisa Lampanelli, mm-hmm. people, comics like that, they like really make their career off of just saying really shocking, awful things. And that is what this show is supposed to be. And so I think that they thought that they were going to say some dumb shit like that and be able to excuse it by saying, well, the show is called Difficult People and no mm-hmm. one else in the show thinks yep. it's funny. It's all about how she's so mean and everyone else is judging her for it and she gets hate for it. I don't even understand why you think it's bad. They're really just exploring the fact that people say horrible things about people. And it's like, that doesn't make any difference. Like, how are you supposed to feel? Like, I thought, honestly, Beyonce aside, you know we love her, mm-hmm. but how could it feel like to be watching a show just to say, oh, maybe it's good, and then they say, I hope that I can't wait for your baby mm-hmm. to be old enough for someone to piss on them. Like,
for someone to rape her.
Like, how, like, where, that's just not funny. There's no way that could be
not
funny.
Not as a person or as a parent. Like, it just don't, I don't even see how as a mother you approve some shit like that, much less just a regular ass human being with feelings. But what you gonna learn today, bitch, is that just because you thought, oh, well, I can slap the name Difficult People on it and make these two assholes, does not mean that anything you say is justified. And that's what your little dizzy ass stands can get through their heads too. There is nothing, you're not pointing out a greater issue about R. Kelly when you position a 3-year-old to be the butt of an R. Kelly joke.
And girl, who's talking about R. Kelly in 2015? Like, who is talking about R. Kelly pissing on people in 2015? Like, you're not making a, like you're saying, a Bill Cosby joke or something that is like relative to what's going on. Like, making a point about R. Kelly for what? We all know what he did. That's dead. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You made a horrible joke because you thought it would be funny that this bitch said something so fucking horrible, because right. that's supposed to be the point of the show. And what I'm saying is that there are comics who believe that they can just say disgusting things like that and dress it up by saying, oh, well, it's just a joke, or it's whatever. Like when Donald Trump says that maybe there was blood coming from her eyes, or maybe somewhere else, you know. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, I can just say, well, it's just a joke. There's a line in comedy. There mm-hmm. is. There's a line. There has to be a line in everything that you do. I know there's a motherfucking line because I tap dance on that bitch every day of my life. Right. And sometimes I jump over that bitch real quick and jump right back. But like, saying R. Right. Kelly pissing on a baby, somebody's actual human baby that ain't done nothing to nobody, is like, that's not even crossing the line. That's like jumping in a catapult and launching yourself past it.
Honestly, and Beyonce, you know, should slap the shit out of you. She really should. Like, she's completely justified. If she sees you, she slaps you. If I was you, I would just take that and honestly ask for another one, because you deserve a second one.
Hello.
Like, if I were you, that would be what the fuck I did, because this is disrespectful on a whole nother goddamn level.
Bitch, please, more. Just, I know. How dare, I understand. You motherfucker.
You don't get to use toddlers for cheap ass jokes for your bullshit ass show, bitch. And honestly, I'm truly disappointed. I know you don't give a fuck about that, but I thought I could trust you. And you're just one other raggedy ass self-proclaimed feminist who doesn't fucking get it. If your feminism does not include intersectionality, then it isn't feminism. If your feminism is only focused on white women and what they have to deal with in America, which, yes, is sexist, but only sexist, then you need to fucking change your feminism. If you are going to be out here talking about, you have this website for smart girls and developing and molding girls into being their authentic selves and being bold and creative and expressive, all that is good, but you clearly don't extend humanity to little black children. And so fuck you, Amy Poehler. And that's my read.
You know, like, I went to UCB.
Yeah.
Just one semester.
I liked Amy Poehler, even though, honestly, I like Kimmy Schmidt, but that Dong character left me feeling kind of funny. I just felt like Dong. Have you watched Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Of course.
Dong, the Asian guy. I just felt like it was a little too, like, stereotypical. I didn't really like how they did that character.
I felt like they tried to do, like, they tried to turn it around in the end, and that's not her show, no way, but...
Oh, right. No, it's not.
That's Tina Fey's show.
Oh, right, Tina Fey. Oh, see, well, Tina Fey, I was looking at her side sideways after that, and now this with Amy Poehler is just like, ugh, like, girl, why?
The thing about it, and I just want to say this really quickly, because it's also something that I thought about when I was thinking about this. There are comics that can tell really, like, offensive, derogatory jokes and get away with it because of the way that they structure the joke. Not everyone can do that. In fact, I would venture to say that not many comics can do that. I would think that it's an art. You have some fucking, you know, comedians like Dave Chappelle and Paul Mooney, even Ellen, that have the ability to tell jokes that could be, like, offensive, but the way that it's told or the way
Ellen
that it is
Ellen tells
said,
nasty jokes on daytime because of the way she phrases them.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Not everyone can do that, and that's fine, bitch. Just don't tell the fucking joke. You have to understand when you're going into a situation like that, if you're going to say a joke that's offensive, that it's offensive. You have to acknowledge that it's offensive. So don't just say, oh, well, I can't, you know, wait for somebody to get raped. Oh, you can't believe that I just said that. That's not funny. There's nothing funny about that. Like, if you are going to go that far, if you're going to be that bold, at least take the damn time and the effort to structure the damn joke and make it so that it's like, oh my gosh, like Whoopi Goldberg and all of her, you know, disappointing dreads these days. She told a joke that one time, which I don't even think is her joke. Have you ever heard that joke about the little black angel the little black baby angel?
I don't think so.
I'll tell you the joke later. I'm okay. Sure you can Google it and it won't be hard to find, but like she told a joke that was like extremely racist, mm-hmm. and everyone laughed, but it was like, did you laugh because the joke was funny or did you laugh because what da, 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 da. Like, and it was actually an interesting conversation, and if she wasn't black, I damn sure wouldn't have laughed, but she could have maybe told it in a different way and I would have thought it was funny. Louis C.K. told a joke with where he said faggot and he was talking about the word faggot, mm-hmm. and I actually laughed. Like, at first I was like, how dare you, but then the way that he set it up afterwards was almost like, okay, that's kind of funny. Like, you didn't do that here. You were just lazy saying offensive dumb shit because you white and nobody's ever going to do anything to you because of it. And so you feel like you can talk about little black kids or whoever the fuck else, or talk about AIDS or talk about cancer or talk about whatever. And you're just going to get away with it because you're white and Amy Schumer is producing your show. I mean, Amy Poehler is producing your show. Even though
just one white girl for another.
Got my eye on that shoe.
I met one of her writers and she is really funny. And I've seen Amy Poehler's show and I...
Schumer.
See? Just interchangeable white girls. I've seen Amy Schumer's show. And I liked it, so, but I feel like she's one of the ones where it's like, you got just one time.
Give them some time.
You got just one time, girl, because you skating on thin ass ice right now.
That's what I'm saying. We don't need to rely on anybody to be our everything and get us through mm-mm. whatever. Like, you know, you can be a fan and still be disappointed because we're all human and
understand
we do dumb
that
shit.
Beyonce and, is human, so we all are.
Right, and I couldn't get with that bang. Remember the bang.
I thought it photographed well, but in video, it did not look so good. But like when she styled, like when it was the pictures, like
we don't have to relive it.
I liked it situationally.
The point is that every now and then, somebody that you really, really like celebrity wise or whatever might do something, probably will do some shit that you mm-hmm. won't like or agree with or that might
or will
like,
disappoint you.
Like extremely. Disappoint you, and you have to learn how to take that talent aside from the shit that is that they are or that they're doing or whatever mm-hmm. and live with that shit. I fucking love Amy Poehler. It's
Come
not gonna
on.
Make me
Which
feel
one?
Any different about Parks and Rec. It's not gonna make me feel any fucking different about Baby Mama and a whole bunch of other shit, but it does make me feel different about her as a person.
Yep.
Which All sucks right. but
it is what it is.
I mean, so. But the show blows. Like, it's not even good. So
no, it's not.
It's not like anyone's missing anything.
So you might as well just skip it.
It wasn't like, oh, God, that one joke is stopping me from, like, I actually went past that and was like, let me see if this actually saves.
Just be like, fuck the mic.
because it's in my face. I'm talking to you.
I know.
But it just got worse. And then Gabourey is in the fucking show. But that bitch, she is never without work.
No.
Let me tell you something. Say what you want, but Gabby has a job.
Yep.
Continuously.
And that was one of the main things people said about her when they was like hating on her when she first came out, was like, she ain't never going to get another role and that's all she going to do. Every time I turn around,
American
that bitch
Horror
is in
Story,
something new.
The Big C.
And y'all are just mad. She shows up and she's happy.
Empire.
And she's on Instagram with Jussie's ass and they being best friends and cute and shit. And y'all are just mad.
Did you see her twerking?
No, I haven't seen. What did that come out today?
She was shaking that ass with Jussie like in the kitchen. And
I saw Jussie mopping her floors or some shit,
I
shirtless.
Did see that too.
God damn.
I love them.
The life.
Anyway, so that's this long ass show.
Oh, yeah. That's The Read this week. Make sure you check out thisistheread.com and follow us at This Is The Read on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Also, check thereadlive.com for tickets to our upcoming live shows in St. Louis and Charlotte this fall.
Yes, shout out to Atlanta. We'll be seeing you very, very soon, August 28th, I believe.
Yes.
And then we'll be jetting out to Europe, which I'm excited and nervous about because it's so, so far away. But I think it's going to be a great time.
Yay.
And
very
yes,
excited,
Charlotte, St. Louis, we've got DC at the end of the year. If you don't have a ticket to my upcoming Ass Shaking Fest All the Way Live on the 30th, I'm telling you bitches, like, you already know New York surrounding areas. We only got so much time before Jack Frost comes out and starts.
It's about to be too cold to have fun.
Biting your tits off, so... Come out. It's going to be a great time. We had a blast at 305 Live. And so we're going to do that again. And fun and ignorance and great time.
Biting your tits off.
Whatever.
Okay. I don't think I have any announcements. Do you?
Shout out to our great, great friends.
Oh my God. Duh. Yes. That was like an item.
Asante and Dustin and our great friend Fran of Hey Fran, Hey Fran. Hey Friend, Hey Fame is what I was attempting. They premiered their brand new podcast today, which is yesterday now that you're listening to it, which is called The Friend Zone right here on loudspeakers. So make sure that you subscribe to them on iTunes, they're on SoundCloud and the like, and go and show them love and tweet them. Flash your titty, like tweet flashes tits.
Yeah, okay.
And asterisks, because that's how you know that you're doing it.
Right.
Tweet it out.
Yes,
them.
And their show comes out Wednesdays, which is one day before ours. So for those of you who have been looking for a new podcast, we'll recommend that one. Our friends have been on the show and we love them, obviously. We should get Fran on to come talk about healthy shit and natural hair and stuff, because I'm sure.
That show is it's going to be like a funny R&B song with like a 808. That's what their podcast
is going to
be like.
It's going to be
like a bass, not a doom, 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 doom. I'm sorry.
Them fools. So, but yes, so check out The Friend Zone and congrats, friends. We love you guys.
Other than that, oh, if you or anyone you know might be a videographer in the UK, we're looking for someone to shoot some stuff for us when we're out there for the show. So, if you are interested or know someone who might be, email us at asktheread@gmail.com. Just put videographer or UK videographer in the subject in all caps so that we can see it. And we'll just try and reach out to you. And yeah.
Yes. So
I think that's it.
Okay. So do we have an acronym this week or not?
The acronym this week is CDLS. I don't know where I was going with that, but I was going to say Sierra doesn't love Sprite, but
oh
she
my
does
God.
Love ginger ale.
I was going to say Sierra does lunges slowly. I was kind of close.
It's like you have it and then you purposely go left.
No, it's just because she's very fit. I thought it was a natural progression. Anyway, all right, we'll see y'all next week.
Okay.